Thank you so much for joining us today, Michael.
Hi there.
Now, how did you get the idea of Sustainable House?
Well, I was whinging about the government. They should do this and they should do that. And it was a bad voice to hear. And I thought, hang on, this is my pollution. Why don't I sort myself first? So I decided to disconnect from mains water and sewer and put in a solar system in my house in 1996. So I disconnected from the mains water and sewer. And for the last 20 years, four people can live in this house where I am for less than $300 a year for energy and water bills.
Wow. And was it difficult to get used to the life off the grid?
No. I had a boy who was six and a girl, 10, two kids. And I couldn't have said to them, sure, you can have your friends over to play Nintendo, but they've got to do a two-week training course. So everything had to go through the filter. Yes, but if I do this, can the kids use it? Yes, but if I make these changes, can I sell the house? So everything went through that. It's got to be really stupid. But also, let's be clear here. We're not dealing with anybody special. I'm somebody you would not want to live with. I'm barely able to change a light bulb. I'm a dope. So everything is sort of dope-proof, mobs-proof.
So when you say this this training, what exactly did that involve? Like, you have to do this in order to do that?
Well, I couldn't have said to the kids, yes, you can watch telly, but you have to learn how to operate the solar system. So you can come into my house, turn on the lights, have a glass of water, have a shower, and not know that it's all come from the sun or from the rain that falls on the roof here. It's really simple stuff.
Cool. Well, you disconnected your house from electricity grid about a year ago in March 2015. What are the results so far?
Well, it was pretty quick. And 2 weeks after, the system broke down, so I had to go to the local swimming pool at Victoria Park and shower there, and I bought lots of candles. But the company sent out a new software upgrade by email. The installers came and put it in with a USB. And so for the last 12 months, all the electricity is from the sun, and it sits on my veranda like about the size of a fridge. I call it R2-M2 because it's got this sort of, you know, futuristic dimension to it. I like it.
Good Star Wars reference.
Yeah. And so I'm talking to you now on my mobile phone that was charged on energy that came from the sun. Even as I'm talking to you, 7 minutes ago, the stuff that left the sun has gone into the batteries and it's feeding the fridge or whatever else is happening here. You could come to this house and not know that it's an off-grid house.
Mm. And now, what would be your main advice for Sydney residents who want to follow in your example and have a more and to, you know, lead towards more of a sustainable lifestyle? Like, where do they start?
Well, inside is the first place. You have to say to yourself, I don't have to be anybody other than who I am. I don't have to be special. There's a fairly dopey, simple sort of bloke in Chippendale who's done it. I can do it. The second thing is you say, well, say I'm a renter. What can I do? The first thing you can do is change the shower head. So for 60 or so bucks, you can get a shower head that will save your electricity and gas and water bills because it will use less water but give you the same or a better shower than ones before, and you can undo it and take it with you when you move houses.
And now, since you became self-sufficient, you don't, as you mentioned before, your bills are much lower, or, you know, you don't have to pay for water or electricity bills.
Yeah.
How has the government responded to the idea of this?
Well, the House provided a talking point in the Cabinet when they decided to bring in a new energy and water efficiency benchmark called Basics. You can't get a new house built or do a renovation over a certain amount unless you achieve minimum water and energy efficiency. And the fact that the house was there, there's a model of it in the Powys Museum. So people get now in New South Wales that you can do this without changing your lifestyle. So that was a big impact of the house. Have I answered your question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, yes. You have, you have.
Okay.
I guess, you know, with your upcoming talk now, you are going to discuss sustainability at a much larger scale than a single household.
Yeah.
Do you consider Sydney's sustainability sector strong, and what are your predictions for Sydney's future?
Well, there's an underlying strength because it doesn't matter what a council says or does. The new housing it approves has to have a minimum level of water and energy efficiency, so that's embedded. So that's happening with every development approval. But the house that I live in is sustainable, but I'm not. I'm sucking my tummy in as I talk to you because it sticks out a bit. My tummy uses 20 to 40 times more energy and water than does my house. I did the fit-out for the new Google offices, and I wanted to get the job, and I discovered that Google's 53rd employee was a chef who was passionate about local food. And I discovered that an ordinary Australian diet, in 10 days, there's over 100,000 litres of water in the food. So Google had 300 people at the time. So that's 300,000 litres for the breakfast. There are lots of cafes and places to eat in the offices. 300,000 litres for lunch. So a million litres of water a day for 300 people to eat. So it doesn't matter if you've got a house or an office that uses energy and water. What matters is how we grow food. And for Sydney, if we can grow food where we live and walk, in the footpath, verges, if we can buy from local farmers, we can actually go out and buy as a tenant or as a property owner or worker or whatever from local farmers and save more energy and water than a house. But at the same time, if we grow plants and trees in our streets, we will cool them. So what I'm trying to do is get that link between cooling the streets and growing and buying local food. Once, because all of us eat three times a day, we make, in a sense, a very political decision when we buy. Are we going to buy food that's come from overseas? Or are we going to buy it from local farms so it hasn't travelled as far and caused as much pollution? So what I'm trying to do is cool Sydney by cooling its streets so that the amount of aircon used goes down, and so that, you know, little birds have places to eat and hide and insects grow, and so that we return some biodiversity, some natural life to the way the city ticks over.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us today on 2SER.
Great to have your interest. Thanks for talking to me.
That was Michael Mobbs, environmental consultant and author of Sustainable House and Sustainable Food. To learn more about his activities or to book a tour in his sustainable house, you can head to his website, sustainablehouse.com.au.